Today's shiur is Masechta Basra Daf Ayin. We will begin Ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. A Gemara continues to discuss where different properties were sold, and there were parts of the property not included in the sale, and there was a statement, in fact, to that fact, that these properties are not included in the sale. What does that mean? So begins the Gemara Bar Minai, Rav Acha Bar Huna Mi Rav Sheshes. Chutz Michurav Ploini. If the sale indicated that I'm selling you this property, not with this Churav, this carob tree is excluded. Chutz Misadin Ploini. Without this sycamore tree being included. Mahu. What will be the halacha regarding the other trees? Because as we've been discussing in our shiurim, when you sell a field, the charuv hamurkav and the sadan hashikma, being that they're so significant, they're not included in the sale. The question here, however, is, since he mentioned specifically that this tree should not be included in the sale, do we say that what he meant to say with that statement is that this specific tree should not be included, but all the other trees should be included? Or do we say that all the other trees are still not included? Says the Gemara, Oisacharav Hudloi Kani. Do we say that tree is not included? Hashar Charuvim Kani. Idilma, or as usual, all these types of trees, as we just said, are not included. And here too, Shacharuvim Nami Loikani, the other trees of this type will also, and even though he made this statement, will still not be included in the sale. Says the Gemara, Amalei Loikana, none of these types of trees are included in the sale. Esrei asked the Gemara if somebody says, it says in a Braisa, if somebody says, Chutz Micharoi Ploini, Chutz Misadin Ploini Loikana, my love, isn't it speaking about a situation that isn't the Braisa mean to say that Oisacharov, that particular tree, Hud Loikana, is not included in the sale? Hoshacharovim, all the other trees would be included in the sale. So the Mara Amalei, so Rav Shesh says Loi. That's not the way to understand what the Braisa means, but rather what the Braisa means to say is Shacharuvim Nailoikana. No, none of the Charuvim are included in the sale. Says the Gemara, Teda, and Rav Shesh says that what I'm saying makes sense. Dila Amalei, because let's think about a situation where a seller says to a buyer, Amalei, the seller says to the buyer, Sadai Mechurulach, I'm selling you my property, Chutz, but I'm excluding Sada Ploinus, that I'm not including this sale. Hahi Hudalaikana, will that mean that if a person owns many, a person has many properties, will we say that that property is not sold because he excluded it? All the other properties that this individual may own, Kani, becomes included in the sale? Because that the Gemara says, is impossible to believe. And the reason the Gemara is saying it's impossible to believe that so would be the halacha, because he said clearly, I'm only selling you this property. I'm only selling you this property. Kani, we can't say that he's going to become the owner of all the other properties just because he used this type of wording. Eloi Kana, what do we say that he doesn't own, he won't become the owner of all the other properties? Hachinami, and the property that he excluded as well. Hachinami, so here too, when he said Chutz Micharoi Ploini, it's not to be understood that just this property won't be his. Hachnami Laikana, the way to understand what happens is that all these types of trees, which are normally not included in this sale, are not included here as well. So, of course, the question is, so if we're learning now that when he said Chutz Mecharuv Ploini, not just this Charuv will be excluded, but all of the Charuvim will be excluded. So the question becomes, so what was the point in saying it? So the Rashbam says that it's really connected to the Machloikis that we discussed so many times in our Perek, the Machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanon of Hamaycher Ba'in Yafa Maycher, Hamaycher Ba'in Ram Maycher. And Rabbi Kiva's opinion is that somebody sells a field, Maycher Ba'in Yafa Maycher, and even if there are parts of the field, as we keep on learning in our shiurim, that he will retain ownership on, he doesn't have a way to get to them. As we learned, Tzarch Likach Atzmai Derech, he has to find a way to get there. However, we learned in many Mishnais that if the person, when he made the sale, used the words Chutz Me'ela, so what, and as we always repeat in our shiurim, every words count. So why did he say Chutz Me'elu? Why did he say Chutz Me'elu if they're not included? So says the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva is going to say that in such a situation, the reason he used those words was that he should have not just those assets remain with him, but even the derech to get to those assets will remain with him. So the same thing that here we'll say that the reason he mentioned these trees, if we're learning now, says the Rashbam in explaining the Gemara, that everything that he's saying, he's keeping anyway, he's entitled to keep this anyway, we're going to have to learn that the reason he keeps this is just because, the reason he said it is to get to a derech. So that's good according to the Rashbam. According to the Rabbanon, the Rashbam's explanation of Kiva, but according to Rabbanon, we come back to our original question. So the answer is going to have to use a concept that we discussed in our previous year. It's l'shufer d'shtara. It wasn't necessary to be said. It doesn't accomplish anything because according to Rabbanon, since Moichem Bein Ram Moicher, he's anyway entitled to have a path to get to his tree. He's just saying it l'shufer d'shtara. There are other Rishonim that have a different pshat. He says the point of him saying this is that what he wants to keep for himself in the property, that he's entitled to all the charuvim, as we're learning. Since he's entitled to all the charuvim, the question is, so what was the point in mentioning this specific charuv? The answer is, it's not for the charuv. Because for the charuv, he's anyway entitled to everything. What it means is that besides that he's going to be able to keep all the trees in the property, he's also going to keep in the property itself the amount that is equivalent to the value of that charuv. So it accomplishes that he not only keeps all the charuvim, the seller, but he also has still ownership in the property to the value of that charuv. What's not clear, according to those Rishonim, is okay, he's entitled to have not just charuvim in the field, he's entitled to have property in the field because of this extra wording. But the question is, where do we give him that? And we know how much because we can make the evaluation, but what we don't know is where is that property in the field? V'kadamri, there's a different version. Bar minei Rav Acha bar Hunam Rav Sheshes, chutz mechatzuri charuv ploini. Here, he didn't say that I'm excluding a whole charuv. He only said he's excluding a chatzi charuv. Chutz mechatzi sadin ploini. Or he said I'm excluding half of the sycamore tree. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Shach charuvim. So as far as the other charuvim in the field, the Gemara is saying now, vade loikani are certainly not included in the sale because as the Gemara keeps on teaching us, they're never included in the sale. The question is on the second half of the tree, because he said, I'm only keeping a half a tree. So the question is, how do we interpret that statement? Do we interpret that statement to mean Hamash Shai Ba'isacharuf, the other half of the tree that he's saying I'm only keeping half of the tree? So does it mean that the other half of the tree, Kani, will become the property of the buyer? Adoma, or maybe we'll say, Afil Mash Shaya Ba'isacharuf, even what he left over in that charuv, Nami Loikani, because the halacha is that he's never entitled, because charuvim are never included in the sale. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Amalei Kani. He doesn't have the other half either, even though he used this wording, and we'll have to explain what that wording means, but it doesn't mean that he keeps that charuv. Esvei, ask the Gemara, we learned in a braisa, but somebody says, Sadi mechurla, chutz mechatzi charuv ploini. Chutz mechatzi sadim ploini, so that loch is shar charuvim loikona. So the other charuvim, which are always excluded from the sale, will be excluded from the sale here as well. My love, so says the Gemara, doesn't the Brisa mean to teach us that Shah charuvim hu delekana, the other charuvim in the field will not be included in the sale? Hamash shai ba'is charuv, what is left over, the other half of this charuv that he spoke about, kana will become the buyers. Amlei loy, says Rav Sheshes, no, afilu mash shai ba'is charuv, even what was excluded, what was not mentioned about that charuv, nami loikana, it won't become the property of the buyer. And says the Gemara, similar proof to what we had before, teda, says the Gemara, that that's the right way to understand what happens here. Dila amalei, if a seller said to a buyer, sada mechurlach, chutz mechatzi sada ploini, I'm selling you this property, except I'm excluding half of the field. So we say that means that, let's say this person owns many properties. Will we say that the halacha is hahudalaikana, that the half a field that he excluded is not included, ha'idach, but all of his other properties, kana, elalaikana? Of course not. Hachinami laikani. If I sell you one property, it doesn't have any, doesn't apply to any other properties, even though the wording here is sort of unclear. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, by minay, because, explained the Mefarshim, in the previous Gemara, we had a machloikis of the Dayani Goyle with the Dayani Yisrael. The Gemara now brings another situation where we have such a machloikis. Says the Gemara, by minay, Rav Amram Rav Chizda, Hamafka etz chaveri b'shtar. If somebody left money, somebody asked somebody else to watch his money, and because they wanted to be proper and careful, it was documented that you are holding my money. And now when the person who comes to collect his money, Amalai, the person who is holding the money, says to him, I return them to you. Mahu, what will be the halacha? Miyaminin, do we say that he's trusted? Why is he trusted? Because the halacha, as we know, is that a shomer could always say nensu. Besides a shoyel, but a shoyel is somebody who borrowed something. Here, that's not the case. Where I'm watching something, where somebody's watching something, if he said nensu, that there was an accident and they're not here, he's believed. So hashtanami, now, even though he said hechzatim lacha, he will be believed with a migui. A dilma, or maybe he can't be accepted to say that, because the person is going to say, shtar chabiyadi, my boy, there's a shtar that you're holding on to my thing, and since there's a shtar that you're holding on to my thing, the halach is that when you give me back what you're holding, I give you back the shtar, as is always what happens when there's a shtar in play. And the fact that I'm still holding the shtar is clearly an indication that you haven't returned. The Rashbam explains that if there was no shtar, then of course a person who says, I return to you to be kadim, is always believed. Not only says the Rashbam, is he always believed when there's no shtar, but even if there were Aden that were there when I was asked to watch this, it wouldn't change the halacha, because it's a halacha that we learned before in Amasechta. Hamafkid is Hamafkid be'edim, that if you ask somebody to watch something and there are edim who were there to testify that that happened, ain't tzarech lachzel be'edim. You don't have to return in front of the edim. The question in our Gemara is because there was a shtar. So since there's a shtar, we have this new concept of shtarcha biyadei maboy. And the Gemara is asking that he could have had a migui because he could have said nansu. And the Mefarshim take this point a step further. Under normal circumstances, just saying nansu wouldn't be insufficient. It's only here when we're speaking about a bikadim. And there's a new halacha that even if you had the bikadim given to you with Edim, you don't have to return it with Edim. So we see that the person, the shomer, has much strength. And since he has so much strength, maybe over here with this migui, he's going to be neman, even if in other situations he's, even though in other situations he would not be neman. Amalei. So Rav Chisda responded, the halach is memon. That means he's nemon, as we just explained, with the migui. So the tzais answers, but what happens to the fact, what will we do with the shtarcha biyadei maboy? If he returned it, why didn't he take back the shtar? So the Tzais explains that what does shtarch biyadei maboy prove? It always proves that you're still holding on to my pikadim. In a situation like this, where it's not a loan, it's not a sale, that is not as strong as it normally is, says the Gemara. V'leim le'shtarch biyadei maboy. But ask the Gemara, what do we do with that? What does Rav Chisda do with that? So ask the Gemara, let's change the story, says Rav Chisda. What would happen if we start the story all over again? Somebody asked me to watch something that belongs to him. He gave it to me with a shtar, and he comes to get back, and I say nensu. What would be the halach if I say nensu? So would his counterclaim of shtarch biyadei maboy, would that have any validity? Of course it wouldn't have any validity. I would say nensu, and once I say nensu, the halach is a shomer's belief to say nensu. So here too, it doesn't change anything, says Rav Chisda. Amalei, says the Gemara, why are you taking this approach? Asked the Gemara. Ki amalei nensu, Soif, ki amalei nensu, lav shvoi boi. The halach is that if somebody, the shomer, says nensu, we learned many times in Masechta Bava Metzia that the halach is he has to back up what he says. As the Torah Kedoshah says, shvus Hashem tiyah bein shneihem, im lo shalach yadai b'malachas re'ehu. So just because he's saying nensu, just because he could have said nensu, why is he believed? Automatically, nensu comes with a shvua. And the pshat in the Gemara is that if you're basing somebody, if you're giving somebody an amonus based on a migui, what that requires is that he would have to do, and the migui is what gives him the strength to prevail, he has to be able to do what the migui says. So if in the case of Netzu, he would have to make a shvua. So here too, when he's saying, and we're believing him based on that migui, he should have to make a shvua. Answers the Gemara, indeed. Hachnami, the way to understand this Gemara, my Neman, what is meant when the Gemara has been saying, when he says, he's believed with a migui, it means, migui of Nensu, he's going to have to make a shvua. So there's a very big discussion amongst the Rishonim, what type of a shvua will he have to make? The simplest way of learning the Gemara is that a shvua drabonon of shvua's heses is always understood he's going to have to make. What the Gemara here is coming to teach us is by saying that you want to believe him with the smigui of Nensu, and as we said a moment ago, what that means is that he should have the halacha of, he should have the halacha as if he said Nensu, and he should have to make a shvua, that now not only would he have to make a shvua's heses, which is a shvua drabonon, but now he's going to have to make a shvua deraisa. The halacha is that if somebody has a note that says, I owe you money, and it's signed and doesn't have edim, so we've learned many times the halacha is that such a document could only be used to collect from Bnei Chayrim, property that I have, but not from property that I sold. Whereas, if there was a full-fledged document that was signed by Edom, then you could go after Nechasim Shabadim as well. The Rambam, Rif and Ramban say that although the person named in the note is not to believe to say that this loan never took place, they're believed to say Purati, they're believed to say I paid. And the Ramban explains that a note that doesn't have these edim is not as strong as a shtar choiv signed by two edim, because since it doesn't have the edim on it, it doesn't have the halacha of a shtar, and makes the Ramban a very important point. Shtar chabiyadim abayi, says the Ramban, is only by a shtar, which is a very strong shtar. As we're learning now, what is the definition of a very strong shtar? A shtar that has edim signed on it. But since this is a shtar that doesn't have edim signed on it, so even though normally when I pay back the money I owe, one of the things the Gemara always assumes is I'm going to ask back for my shtar. Here I'm going to not necessarily ask back for my shtar. Says the Rashba, in disagreeing with the Rambam, he says, our Gemara is not talking about a star, not speaking about a strong star either. Because a star pikadin doesn't create mortgage on my property. Yet the Gemara keeps on repeating that we say that star chabayyadim my boy is a real claim that he would have. Clearly, say the other Rishonim, that the fact that the shtar is not such a strong shtar is not what prevents it from being a shtar that we say shtar chabiyotcha, my boy. There's, as we speak about this concept of shtar chabiyotcha, my boy, the question that comes up in studying this concept is what happens if I have a reason that I could say that I didn't care to get back the shtar. The Cheshukei Chemed discusses a situation that, let's say, the person says, the reason I wasn't so concerned to get back the shtar because I was holding diamonds of yours. I was holding something valuable of yours. And therefore, maybe that's why I wasn't so particular to get back the shtar. The Noida Behuda discusses a situation where in a certain community, Noida Behuda is a Mahadurikama Choshim Mishpat Simon Zion, discusses a situation where somebody whose name was Rableib Segal passed away. And then there's an individual whose name is Aaron, that this Rableib Segal owed him 10,000 Adumim. The Yarshim claim that you owed my father money. That we heard many times a father saying, what should I do that this person only owes me so much money? And what happened in that story is that there are two documents and we don't know how to deal with this. One is that maybe what the Yosemim is saying is not true. On the other hand, maybe it is true. On the other hand, the question is, the fact that he says that he owes me money is the reason why I never pay, that why I never paid him. And therefore, the question is, are these reasons to say that we shouldn't say shtar chamiyot chamayboi? And essentially, what the Gemara is teaching us in this sugya is that maybe in a case where there's an explanation, and that goes back even to what the Rishonim is saying, that there's a reason to understand why I didn't care to collect the shtar, then we don't stare shtar chamiyot chamayboi. So we've been learning over and over the halacha that if I am holding something of yours and there's a shtar that I'm holding it, can I be believed based, and I say I returned it, can I be believed? Because if I wasn't, if I owed it to you still, shtar chabiyotcha, or I could have a migui. Says the Gemara Lemeth Lukta, Dan Tanoi. So the Gemara wants to suggest it's connected to the following machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, shtar kis hayotzei al hayisoyim. There's a shtar that, which we've discussed when we learned the Sechta Baba Metzia, the type of shtar that's being referred to in this Gemara is what, when we learned Masechta Baba Metzia, was called a shtar, was called a heter iska. And as we learned, when we learned Masechta Baba Metzia, what that really means is that this is a shtar, that this is a shtar that is chatzi halva and chatzi b'kodim. Not to completely review all of the halachas, but of course we know that one may not lend money on ribbis, one may not lend money with interest. And Chazal, as we learned in Masechta Baba Metzia, came up with different solutions on how to avoid the problem of iska and the problem of ribbis. And what the Gemara over there discussed is that I could lend you money, but I can't lend money and ask for ribbis. So the Gemara says that we do half of it as a halva, half of the money is a loan, and half the money is a pikadon, that I'm leaving this with you, that you become the managing partner over my asset. In this Gemara, this type of a document is called shtar kis. And there's a shtar kis that one person has on the other person who now passed away. And the person who lent the money wants his money back. The Yana Gaila Amr Nishba, he swears that he never got back his money. For Gaim Bakulan, he's entitled to his entire money. The Yana Yatsusral Amri Nishba, but he swears. The Gaiva Machza, he collects half. Says the Gemara. The Kula, in understanding this machlokes. The Kula, everybody agrees this lay Nadoi, everybody agrees with what Nadoi taught us, Amma Nadoi, Hai Iska, the Shatter Iska, is Pal Gamilva. Half of it is considered a loan. And if something happens, the loiv is responsible. Or Pal Gabikodin, the other half is a Bikodin. But when you have a Bikodin, as we keep on learning, you're not going to be responsible. So the half that is a loan, the malva to collect, we're making a shvua. Because on that half, he doesn't have a migui of nentsu. Because when I borrow money, there is no excuse not to return it because of nentsu. The question here is, on the half there was a bikadin. And suggest the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikus? The mass of the Yonig Goyle say that the father would not have been believed with the migui of Nansu Matzah Amalei, because the other party could have said, Star Chabiyat Chamabai, and therefore this is a proof that we don't say this migui here. And the others, the Anim, were Masav Alai. The other opinion holds that the father would have been believed with that migui. He would have been believed by saying Nensu. So whatever he says, since he could have said Nensu, he would have been believed. Here too, the Yisayim will be believed. So the question that the Rishonim ask, that why is that in the Halacha? Why are the Yisayim weaker than the father? And to make the question even stronger, is that throughout Halacha we know that Taninan LeYisayim, that in many circumstances, where if the person in this litigation doesn't make the claim himself, so it's not a claim the Bezdin sets forth for him. But as much as that's the case in normal litigation, when we're talking about Yisayim, we do try to help the Yisayim. So here, if we're learning that the father could have done it, why, if the halacha is that the father could have done it, why don't we do that? Why don't we make this claim for the Yisayim? So Tosfos answers that this type of a claim of Nensu is Eino Shchiach, it's not common, and since it's not common, we don't raise, even though Taninan LeYisayim, we don't make a claim for the Yisayim that they can't, that is not common to be. Another pshat that the Baal HaMor suggests, and it goes back to something that we learned earlier in the shir. The halacha is that were the father to make this claim, and were he to be believed, we learned earlier in the shir that he would have to make a shvua to support his claim. And the Yisayim, obviously, are unable to make the claim, to make a shvua, because the Yisayim don't know for certain what really happened here. So the only time we're going to make a claim on behalf of the Yisayim is in a case where we could go all the way with that claim, meaning that we'll make the claim on behalf of the Yisayim. But what is over here halacha if such a claim is made? Over here halacha is that if such a claim is made, it has to be supported with a shvua, which will be a shvua that these Yisayim can't make, and therefore it's not to be treated the same way. So the Gemara is suggesting that the machloikas are connected. Amri loy. The kulam is Rav Chisda. Everybody agrees with Rav Chisda that says that he would be neman with a migui of a gzar tumach. Vacher b'haknufki. D'masava im isid pari. The father would have, if indeed the father paid him up, may have amar. He should have told the children that I paid this up. And the fact that he didn't is an indication that he didn't tell him. Or Masover, and the other mandama says, the Yonah Tzisrael say, maybe what happened over here was that he didn't have a chance to say it because he passed away. And I saw that the Ritva explains. The Pash Pshat in the Gemara is that this person died suddenly, and since he died suddenly, there was no opportunity for him to tell his children what is the situation here. But then the Ritva says, we don't have to learn the Gemara that way. We can learn the Gemara that even in a situation where a person knew that he wasn't well and knew that his chances of survival are not great. So there the question is, why didn't he tell them? Because, explains the Ritva, this person, even though recognizing his dire situation, did not realize that the situation was so serious. And he thought to himself, I still have time to live. And since I have time to live, there's no need for me to tell my children yet what's going on. And of course, unfortunately, you can't figure these things out. You can't make such a calculation. Shalach lei Rav Huna bar Avin. Hamafaget chaver b'shtar. V'amalai hechzartem. Loch. Again, Al Gemara, you've been asking me to watch something, and I say, give it back to you, Neman. The next, like Rav Chisda said, because I have a migui, I could have said Nensu. Shtar kisa yotza yisoymim. On the other hand, we're learning that if there was an iska coming out on the yisoymim, Nishba, the person who has the money, swears that the father did not return any of the money. V'goyve kula. So ask the Gemara, Tarti, these halachas are self-contradictory. So because the if just like the father would be believed would exartim, here too the Simon should say exartim. Answers the Gemara, you can't complete the cases. Shani Hasim the East the Pari, if he would have paid him, then the halach is that Meimava Omar, the father would have said something. And since the father didn't say anything, and he has the shtar, they're going to have to give back the money. Rav Amar, Helchasa Dalach is Nishba, the person who's holding the shtar swears, V'goiva Mechza, he takes the money, which is the milva. Amar Mazotra, Helchasa Kadiyani Gaila. Dalach is that he could collect the entire money. Not only the half, which is a milva, where, as we learned, he couldn't use the excuse of Nansu, but the other half as well. Amalei Ravina Rav Mazutra, Vamarav Nishba Vigoyva Machza, Amalei Anan, the Dayani Goyla. We know what the Dayani Goyla, Ipchamestinalei. We have the Dayani Goyla saying that you could only collect half, and the Dayani Atzisrol saying that you could collect the whole, and I hold like Rava that you swear and you only collect half. So Al Gemara has been teaching us that the Simon, because are given certain strengths, then all types of claims that normally are not offered, and certainly Bezdin doesn't set forth, for your Simon, Bezdin does set forth. So one of the things that we've learned, Taisus, is that if it's a claim that's not Shchiach, we don't raise that on behalf of the Yisoymim. The Paiskim discussed a situation that in earlier time, everybody paid taxes to the community, and the taxes that were paid to the community were based on somebody's worth. There was a story that goes back to Shalos Tshuvos Tzemach Tzedek HaKadmon discusses, that there was a person whose name was Rav Yaakov Pisk, who lived in the city of Nicholsburg, and he would every year make a valuation of what his net worth is, and he would pay them, and he would pay taxes. Rav Yaakov passed away, and his children discovered that he had assets that were worth three times what he had declared he owns. And the question is, so now the community came and they said, you owe us more money. Your father was much wealthier than he claimed. There were those that claimed that the father just became wealthy in the last time recently, right before he died. And therefore, your claim, you the community's claim, that our father must have been a wealthy man and he owes and there's much back tax that's owned is not fair. So the question is, do we make such a claim on behalf of the Yisoymim or not? So Chavis Yor says that on one hand, we always try to make a claim on behalf of the Yisoymim, but the claim that the Yisoymim say that the father must have gotten wealthy shortly before he passed away is possible, but not shchiach, unless they could prove that that is indeed what happened, and such a claim, therefore, is not set forth.